From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. It's been called an unthinkably high cancer rate for students and faculty associated with the old Bayshore High School in Manatee County. The school building was torn down in 1999, but a student group has been collecting data they say shows more than 400 cases of rare cancers, birth defects, and other illnesses linked to the school. They believe the culprit is leaking underground fuel tanks, but the school district says multiple tests over 20 years show nothing. Today, we'll talk with the woman leading the group of alumni who says the number of cancer cases continues to grow, and we'll talk to the Manatee School Board Chair about how the board is approaching this issue after a pivotal meeting with Manatee County Commissioners last week. Plus, the most recent study looking at new home sales in Southwest Florida shows steady growth in some parts, but surprising slowdowns in others. Metro Study crunches data every quarter, and we'll talk with the author of the most recent report about whether this slowdown in new home sales is a harbinger of things to come or a blip. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. More and more houses are being built in Southwest Florida, but many of them are sitting vacant. A new report from Metro Study, a real estate data and research firm, shows fourth quarter new home sales have slowed in Southern Collier County while steadily growing in Lee County. Later in the show, we'll talk with the author of that report to find out what's behind those numbers. But first, more than 400 cases of cancer, birth defects, and other illnesses have been linked to the old Bayshore High School in Manatee County. That's according to a group of students and alumni who have taken it upon themselves to track rare cancers and diseases they say were caused by toxic contamination at the site of the school. The building was demolished in 1999, and since then, school district officials say multiple tests have been done over 20 years that show no adverse impacts at the site. Still, the group of concerned students say the number of deaths and rare diseases is only growing, and now they're urging the Manatee County School Board to work with county commissioners to get more information about the old school site and possibly some answers. Joining us today, we have Cheryl Joza, who's a member of the Bayshore High School class of 1981 and the founder of the Bayshore High School Concerned Alumni and Friends Group. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live, Cheryl.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on the show.
Also joining us today is Charlie Kennedy. He's the chair of the Manatee County School Board. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Julie. Thanks for having me. Hi, Cheryl.
We reached out to the Manatee County School District to have a representative join our show today, but they declined to take part. We also reached out to Braden Times reporter John Rahill, who has covered this story for years, but he was unable to get with us on the show today as well. We are talking about the old Bayshore High School and claims by a student group that toxic contamination of the school grounds is behind what they say are more than 400 cases of cancer and other rare diseases. Did you go to Old Bayshore High, or did you work there? Give us a call and share your story at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook or at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Cheryl Joza, you're from the class of 1981 at Bayshore High School and the founder of the Bayshore High School Concerned Alumni and Friends Group. How did you get involved in this issue?
A few years after my sister passed away of a leukemia, another alumni contacted me because her brother had also come down with the same leukemia. And I just found that really odd because they're rare leukemias that they had. So I started researching online what would cause environmental causes of leukemia, and benzene came up. And at the time, I honestly didn't even know what benzene was.
What did you find out about it?
Benzene is one of the chemical components found in diesel fuel and other fuels, petroleum products.
Okay, so your sister, she passed away from a rare cancer in 99. How old was she?
My sister had just turned 38 years old.
And then a couple years later, another person from her class passed away?
Yes.
And so,
in fact, her class had approximately 260 in the class of 79, and right now I know of three leukemia deaths from that class.
And when you look up statistics on that type of leukemia, is it incredibly rare? Would it be normal to have three people out of 200 and some people?
We had an epidemiologist look at our numbers, because we would have to contact every single person from their class. But the epidemiologist that looked at it, the leukemias came in as one of the ones that were above the national average.
Okay. So you've been digging around in the school's history for a couple decades now, and what evidence have you been able to dig up? Well, you've been looking and you've asked about groundwater contamination and any kind of records that the school may have kept about suspected contamination?
I think the biggest question for us is we have never been able to verify where we got our drinking water from, the source of drinking water. The only information that I could get that's in print was in old newspaper archives. I believe it was the St. Pete Times, and that's where we discovered that.
So in some of the reporting, I saw that you found a memo from 1995 talking about a leaking diesel tank somewhere near the school?
Right. That was in reference to the 10,000-gallon diesel storage tank that was removed out of the ground from the old Bayshore High School property in October of 1995. And I believe, I don't have those documents in front of me, but I believe that memo was dated August of 95, and it said something along the effect of, according to recent dipstick readings, we believe that the tank at Bayshore High School is leaking. That's my recollection.
So you've really been digging into this ever since you kind of started correlating the things. And once you got your information together and you talked with the epidemiologist and you talked with other students, where did you take that information? And then what kind of response did you get? Did you take it to the school board?
We've recently approached the school board because it's only been about a year ago that we had the epidemiologist and the toxicologist look at our information.
But over the course of the last 20 years, have you talked to the school board a couple of times? Have you gone to them and asked them for more information? Has there been cooperation over these 20 years?
This venture's been 13 years, and over the course of that period, I believe I have approached the school board numerous times. The most recent time was just last week, and the time prior to that, I believe, was June of 2015.
And how has the response been?
The response this time is much better.
But before, did you?
I truly believe that's because of the school board that's in place.
But previously, you weren't getting anywhere?
Not at all.
Well, Charlie Kennedy, you're currently the chair of the Manatee County School Board. When did you first learn about these rare cancers and the alumni group that's looking for answers?
Learned about it through a local media article written by John Rehill, who you mentioned at the top. After reading his piece, I believe Cheryl and I made contact via her Facebook group, and I got some more information from her then. And then I also began to ask around. I'm a former teacher before I was on the school board, so I have friends throughout the district, and just asked some of the people who have been here longer than me. I've only been here since 2004. And I've only been on the school board for 2 years, asked those folks, hey, what do you know about the history of the site? And, found that there is, pretty much the standard answer is really, yeah, that's been going around for a long time. And, there was just kind of some general suspicion out there, but nobody was really kind of taking the lead on it except for Cheryl. And I think, like I said, we first made touch then. Our touch base then, really would put this back on the radar, to be honest with you, is, Cheryl has recruited a couple of more scientists into the effort, and they were in front of our Manatee County Commission earlier this month. I think it was the 2nd or 3rd of March, and then as soon as I saw that coverage of the County Commission, I said, we have to get this on our agenda immediately. And I asked that it be put on the agenda for our workshop last week, which was the first available time we could meet. So we're going to go forward with we don't have a date set yet. I have made contact with the chair of the county commission about this. So we have at least touched base, but our next step short term is to get the school board and the county governments together and really, I believe, get everyone up to speed on the history of the site, on what potentially some of the problems could be, and then kind of go from there with an action plan on, are there different tests that we can do that have been done in the past, and just kind of brainstorm. I think Cheryl's right, though. The spirit of wanting to help in this effort is new to the school board. I think it's new to this county commission. I obviously can't speak for the county commission, but at our last workshop, there's five of us on the school board. All five of us expressed an interest to dig deeper into this and to help this effort any way we can.
It's interesting that after all this time, Cheryl is finally finding a sympathetic ear there with the board. So now she has somebody that can work with her to get some more definitive answers. So, Cheryl, throughout all these years, you kept plugging away and kept doing that research. You collected data that points to more than 400 cases of illness and cancer that's related to Bayshore High. How did you get that data all together?
Well, it first started out, just word of mouth, people contacting me. When I started this 13 years ago, back then, that included, phone calls and emails. Now, with the help of social media, with our Facebook page, and we did have a website also, but when Facebook came along, I thought that was a much quicker way to reach people, and I'm glad I did that. So I closed down the website and opened the Facebook page, and now people contact me through there, and they share the illness. And what I do is I take their information. I take their name, if it's a female, I take their maiden name, their class, their diagnosis, state of diagnosis, and I maintain a spreadsheet with that information in it.
So we are talking about the old Bayshore High School and claims by a student group that toxic contamination of the school grounds is behind what they say are more than 400 cases of cancer and other rare diseases. Did you go to old Bayshore High or did you work there? If you did, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. At Facebook, we are at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So most recently, Charlie Kennedy, we had a meeting last week, and you are the chair of the Manatee County School Board. The school district and Manatee County commissioners were all there, and the Bradenton Herald reported that you suggested maybe reaching out to alumni to alert them about a possible risk. Do you think that should be done?
Oh, absolutely. You want to let former employees and alumni from the Bayshore High area, from the Votech school that was there, we want to let them know, even if just to make them aware there is a concern with the site. I mean, there's a fine line or there's a balance between, creating a panic or instilling fear in people. But also, on the other side of that line is you want to let people know that they could have potentially been exposed to something. And as I said at our workshop, and it's been said to me by Cheryl as well, that if you've potentially been exposed to a carcinogen, that's going to change your conversation with your doctor. Whereas your doctor, he or she may, not even be looking for something or, not have a full picture of your health background. And that could change that conversation and potentially, change treatments and save lives and save another family from having to go through what Cheryl and many other alumni and their families who had to go through.
Well, it might cause somebody who has a simple flu to take it a little more seriously or something they suspect is flu symptoms or whatever and just go and ask a few more questions of the doctor or go to the doctor instead of just waiting to write it out. At that same meeting, though, the Herald reports that Superintendent Diana Green said that an outreach was not the role of the school district. What do you think is the role of the district and the school board in this particular situation? Do you think it's county or do you think it's school district?
Well, I think it's both on that. I think it's the school district's responsibility to contact, folks who were affected through the property that the school board owns. I don't want to speak for them, and as I get into this, I'm only speaking for myself, not the board. But the county may want to, kind of get the word out among residents of the area, because this, potentially, it could have affected surrounding neighborhoods as well. There's a couple of sites that Calabas Road, which is probably maybe a couple miles away. There's been some problematic environmental issues there. There's a site that's about a mile from the Bayshore High Campus that was dropping some heavy metals into the ground. But to pull it back to the school district and the comment about the superintendent, I think the superintendent was concerned that she didn't want to put too much work on staff to, supply lists. I think it was a little bit of a technical disagreement between her and I about the process by which we could help in this effort.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, every high school has all their old yearbooks, and so the superintendent asked that Cheryl's group do a public records request to make sure that they get what they need. Obviously, there's a charge associated with public records requests, but I would certainly ask that we waive any fees on that. So the details of that, I think we're going to have to work out.
That'll
but,
be the hair splitting I mean, part five, of things. Yeah.
If five members of the school board say we have a desire that we'd like to help, the Bayshore alumni, I think that carries the day.
So we reached out to the Manatee County School District, and while they declined to join our show, they did provide documents showing the results of testing and underground storage tank assessment at the site at the old Bayshore High School from 1990, 1991, 1993, 1995, and 2007. And the district wrote, quote, "This issue has been raised several times during the last 20 years, and there have been multiple tests to the site, all of which have come back with no adverse findings." The school district communications director, Michael Barber, wrote in an email, quote, "We sympathize with the Bayshore High Alumni Group, and we will work with our school board and the Manatee County Commission if they want to do further testing. But at this point, we have to let the past site results speak for themselves." So, Charlie Kennedy, chair of the Manatee County School Board.
Can I weigh in on that real quick?
Sure, Cheryl.
Okay, just because, first of all, I want to thank Charlie Kennedy because he is just spot on with everything that he is saying, and I can't thank him enough for his support. I think the thing that is important to understand, because you had asked him, was it, responsibility of the school district or the county or, how that comes into play. And like I had said earlier, the only place that I could find about the water source was in old newspaper archives. And in those same newspaper articles, it discussed how back when Bayshore High School was constructed in 1962, that there was disagreements between then Superintendent Blackburn and then Public Health Director Dr. Frederick Allen. And Dr. Allen was trying to emphasize that the installation of wells had to be approved by the Department of Health, and somehow through the way Mr. Blackburn wrestled that authority away from him, evidently through the approval from the Department of Education. I do not believe that those were properly inspected. And because it involves water and it involves health issues, which all of our alumni are only common denominators at school, that's why I believe it's a county issue. Yes, it's school board property, but it's also a county issue because they have jurisdiction over water and health issues.
Well, it sounds like at this point, since last week's meeting, they're looking towards working together on it, at least to some degree. But what would you have to say about past tests that have been done that don't show anything?
In regards to the past tests, the most recent one that comes to my mind was from 2007. I believe it was in between November, December of 2007. Mm-hmm. And again, so the water issue comes up. I don't know if you have that report in front of you, but when they were asked where Bayshore High School got their drinking water from, Woody Clay from Manatee County was asked, and he said that they did not have knowledge of where Bayshore High School got their drinking water from prior to 1998. And the way I look at it is if water is coming out of your faucet and you're not getting a water bill, you're probably on well water.
So, but what I'm asking is, like, they say that they tested the soil and they didn't see anything that was problematic that could have contaminated
That is correct. I believe there were some levels that came up detectable, but they attributed it to the asphalt, and I agree with that. However, there was no water sampling done at the depth where wells would have been.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is they didn't do, it seems like they might have gotten the fill.
They did not address the water issue. Yes, ma'am, they did not address the water issue.
Okay. Well, we spoke with David Woodhouse. He's a professional geologist in Florida who has testified in court as an expert witness on environmental cases in the past. And he says that during his career, he's seen chemical contamination from heavy metals, chlorinated solvents, and petroleum hydrocarbons that are linked to the kinds of rare cancers that are being seen by the BHS alum. And he says that the testing so far has not been deep enough. So he's on the same page as you. And he says that it's also failed to account for how Florida's geology could see toxins move.
Whoever was involved with that school at the time, the Bayshore High School, when they were doing their testing, they were concentrating on something that could have leaked from tanks just below the surface. Some of the sampling was done only like 6 inches down or within a very shallow depth, and they never went down at depth looking for what was below. This is fractured rock, and this is like it's a conduit. These are pathways for the contamination to move, and they move until something along the line, like a well in the ground, takes them out of the ground, and then you got people drinking the water.
And the most recent survey of the old Bayshore school site from the district came in 2007 when the state representative Bill Galvano got involved and started collecting medical records and requested soil tests. And did anything come from that effort in 2007, Cheryl?
No, did not.
But were they able to create a database of the medical records?
No, because we were told that we did not have to give our medical records to somebody that's not like an epidemiologist.
Yeah,
because it would take a specialist to look at that.
Yeah, and it's also hard with the HIPAA laws and the privacy. That's kind of hard to continue to do that reporting.
When I keep people's, you know, the alumni information on the spreadsheet, for example, when I shared that information with the toxicologist, I do not include names. It'll just say male or female, their diagnosis, year of diagnosis, and that type of information that's not identifying. So that does fall in the HIPAA laws.
Yeah. So reporter John Rehill with the Bradenton Times in 2015 wrote a lengthy piece alleging that school board documents from about the time that the alleged contamination might have been found have gone missing. And some school board minutes from the mid to late 1990s are also allegedly missing. And did you run into that, Cheryl, when you were doing your research?
When I was doing my research, I did run across that when I had requested to look at microfiche from 1995 to 1999, school district personnel that were on hand that day did inform me that, yes, it was missing. It could not be located. And then the other thing that I ran across was school board minutes that had been recreated. They were initially scanned in a year at a time. You could tell it was, you know, the original document.
Like on microfiche?
No, this would be the actual school board minutes where actually typed it, and it would be in a ledger.
Oh, okay.
And then when it got to a early point in the early 1960s where they were recreated. I call it being recreated, retyped.
Like they're retyped.
I choose the word recreated because I don't know exactly how they were, but they were recreated because it uses a modern-day computer font.
So, Charlie Kennedy with the Manatee County School Board, have you heard any of those claims before?
I had, yeah. To be honest, I hadn't looked into them too deeply over the past, you know, couple weeks. Is the most in-depth I've read the documentation, and just based on what I was heard originally from Cheryl, and then talked to colleagues around the county who have been here for a long time. Certainly my interest was piqued, but frankly, it just kind of fell off my radar, to be honest. And now that it's come back up again, I don't want to let this opportunity go And, you know, it just, I just want to pull this back to one. Whatever, you know, the school board minutes and the, you know, obviously if there's other testing that can be done, I believe the school board and the county should partner up to do that. If the scientists involved here who have done this multiple times, in other, what are called toxic tort cases, you know, we should follow the experts and find out if there was a health concern, or there was a health concern, because, you know, the district saying, hey, we've done, and I'm part of the district, so I'm talking about us. The district saying that we've done testing in the past and nothing came. Even if you take that at face value, there is still just the basic, task of just notifying people. And I mean, that for me is just step one. If we can go farther and, you know, really dig out the truth, whatever the truth is here, and get to it, you know, my fear is that people are fearing litigation, and oh, what is this going to cost us? But I don't think, for me, and for, I can't speak for Cheryl, but I don't think this is about money. I think this is about just a search for the truth and answers as to why people have lost siblings and children. And it's just a search for the truth. This is not, you know, there aren't lawyers, you know, flying in to take this case, because these aren't cases that make a lot of money. These are just, these are not sexy, and they're just, let's find out what the cause was. Obviously, in a lot of these environmental cases, the perpetrators have long declared bankruptcy. There's nothing to go after, except the truth. And I think that's where, I think that is our bottom line. Anything else we can find above that to tie some of these pieces and fill in some gaps of information, I think that would be great. But at minimum, let's just get the word out to people who are probably,
you know,
maybe
I
moved out of the area.
I couldn't agree with Charlie Kennedy more. I could not agree with him more.
Do you think, though, that the school board needs to look back in its records and try to dig up some of these old minutes from back in the 60s when they were deciding where the drinking water was coming from, or even through the 90s to figure out what they found after that one memo that was unearthed? I mean, do you think that it's worth doing a paper investigation as well as a deeper test into the soil?
Well, you know, like Mr. Kennedy said, I think that the most important part is just getting notification out there. And any testing that we can do to determine if there's still a threat there, I mean, because there's still a school there, and I believe that they still use irrigation. I think that's the most important part in looking back. I mean, that's all I have to say on that. I absolutely think that that's the most important part, notification, and what testing can we do now to determine what it was.
Charlie, do you agree? Are you looking more towards going forward, finding out where we are now and going into the future? Or do you want to take a look back in the past and see if perhaps some of these missing documents might point to some additional clues?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly, you know, like I said, my focus is on the here and now, and how do we, you know, this is where we are. How do we best move forward? But certainly if there is, you know, something that has been intentionally destroyed, you know, if there is some kind of cover up here, and I'm not saying there is, and I'm you know, it's, sometimes I think it's shoddy record keeping, and, you know, I don't know. It's certainly,
yeah, things before computers were a lot different.
Yeah, when you look at the big picture, you might want to, things that don't seem to be connected might feel connected. Yeah, I mean, I'm not above looking into anything, but I think our first step now, is, like I said, is to, you know, let's help get the word out any way we can. Let's look at what we can do. Perhaps there have been, you know, it's been since 2007 since the Department of Environmental Protection has looked into this. You know, maybe there have been advances in soil and water detection. You know, I don't know. I have to leave that to the experts. But
yeah, but it sounds like you're willing to plow forward on that and figure it out. So
absolutely. I think I can speak to the board, the entire school board, on that one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now. We have run out of time, but I want to thank our guests, Cheryl Joseph, the Bayshore High School Class of 1981 alum and founder of Bayshore High School Concerned Alumni and Friends. Thank you for talking with us today, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me. And Charlie Kennedy, thank you again from the bottom of my heart.
Also, thank you to Charlie Kennedy, the chair of the Manatee County School Board. Thanks for joining us on the phone.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
And we'd like to give a special thanks to Bradenton Times reporter John Rahill, whose reporting on this story was very valuable for our show today. Coming up, can a slowdown in new home sales indicate a bigger problem for Southwest Florida real estate, or is it indicative of unrealistic pricing? We'll look behind the numbers in a new study of Southwest Florida housing data after this.